Welcome to the HR Business Blueprint Podcast. I'm Nikki Masterman, founder and managing director of Inspired HR. In this series, alongside my fabulous guests, we will be chatting about becoming a consultant and the benefits of a licensed model. In this episode, I'm going to be introducing myself and my work and sharing what you can expect to hear over the upcoming episodes of the HR Business Blueprint Podcast. In this special first episode, the tables have been turned, and I'm going to be interviewed by Dr. Joanna Berry, the Associate Dean of Engagement and Professor of Entrepreneurship at Durham University Business School.
Well, welcome to the HR Business Blueprint Podcast with Nikki Masterman. So, I'm an academic. Nikki lives in the real world. And the first and obvious question that I think needs to be answered is how on earth the two of us both met, which we just had to remind each other in the preparation for this podcast. Nikki, do you want to talk a bit about how we both met each other back in the day?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so we met through one of my team, Zoe, who is my head of events. So Zoe originally introduced us. I think it was at networking, because obviously networking is massively beneficial to becoming to a consultant, because it's very much who you know rather than what you know. What you know is very useful for the clients, but when it comes to building a business, people buy people. So it's so important to get yourself out there. And we met originally through an event. I think Zoe had introduced us. And then we obviously have our own event strategy within the Northeast, which is now going nationwide in relation to helping raise the profiles of other local businesses and showcasing their talent and experience in our free Prepare to Be Inspired events that we do. And I believe we asked you to come along and talk. And if I remember rightly, it was at the Barclays Eagle Labs at the time. And you came and spoke about yourself, which just absolutely blew me away. I think that was our very first one, actually. And then from there, we've continued to become friends and know each other and highly respect each other. And that ultimately led to you being an amazing contact for myself. And then I think I'm on my third invitation to come along and do a guest slot and lecture at Durham University, which for me was so privileged to be asked, because, you know, I'm very open about I've never went the academic route. I have never been to university. My first experience of any referencing is my current referencing I've had to do for my ADHD level 5 coaching qualification diploma. So that was all a new experience to me. So for someone who's never gone the academic route to ask to be talked at Durham University, that for me was just phenomenal. And I'm so privileged to do that for you. So I guess my question on the back of that, Joanna, and it's a question for you, why did you invite me to come along and do that?
It's a very good question. And to just reflect briefly on what you said about networking, you're absolutely right. I love networking. People that you know are really uninformative because you know them, you know what they know, you know who they know. People that know people that you know are really interesting, and you get that additional set of information and insight from those sorts of people that you don't get from the people that you meet in your sort of more quotidian activities. But one of the things that happens in the university environment, it can become, if you're not careful, especially in business, a little bit of an echo chamber where you only hear the views of those people that you mix with. And the importance to me of bringing in people such as yourself who work outside the university, outside that world of theory and in the world of practice, is that you can bring to life some of the theoretical constructs that we teach, which are informed by research that's done at a very high level on real people in the real world, but translated into theory can become a little bit sterile. And you add colour and flavour and spice and insight and case studies and action to what students can otherwise find a little bit two-dimensional. And so bringing you in was really important to me. And we do it as a matter of course across as many of the programmes that we possibly can. We only invite those people back that we think are really good. So I'm really pleased to see that you're coming back in again to talk to some of our master's students, and they're very lucky to have you.
Oh, thank you. And obviously, I love doing it because, you know, I do work in the real world of HR. And I know one of the things I always emphasize when I am lecturing is that there's a very different learning and a very different practice within the world of HR when it comes to the SME market, it comes to the larger corporates, and then when it comes to public sector, because the styles, the knowledge, everything is so very different with a different focus. And I know that's very much something you encouraged me to talk about when I come in there, because I've witnessed all three areas and do work within all the three areas. So, you know, that's really interesting for them.
You're obviously really qualified to be hosting this podcast, but just for the benefit of the listeners, could you tell us about your business and your journey into HR?
I'll tell you a little bit about my journey first. It's a bit of a long story, so I'll try not to take too long. My journey into HR actually started at the age of 19. I'd not long lost my dad to asbestosis, and that for me was a trigger point in my life to do more and be more, as I felt I was capable of so much more. My dad was a very intelligent man, and when I'd left school, my attendance in my last year of high school was actually only 40%, so I couldn't do many of my exams, but I knew I was capable of so much more. I've since discovered, just linking into that, it is because I was ADHD and I got bored very easily. So that explains why I was never at school in my last year, getting bored very easily. But it was a turning point in my life. My two brothers, knowing I was struggling and feeling like I'd let my dad down, paid for me to do my Pitman's beginner's typing. I worked on checkouts in Tesco at the time, which was great. I loved the customers. They're a great company. I worked for them for 11 years in total. But I knew I was capable of much more. So I did this typing. And then on the back of that, the personal manager in the store called Deb, who I've recently reconnected with and thanked her, spotted potential in me, knowing I'd just done this, and she was off to open a new Tesco store. So on the back of that, she took me for an interview. I took my dad's gold pen with me, and I became her HR admin for that brand new recruitment store, which was D Room in Norfolk. And I've never looked back. My career just went from there. I fell in love with HR. I fell in love with looking after people. And I spent 24 years in corporates, working my way up. And I am qualified by experience. I never went the academic route, worked my way up into manager, went into Tesco head office. Then I became HR manager in distribution at the age of 24. And I've never looked back. I've continued to have a career in HR. And then 10 years ago, I got treated not so great by a corporate employer following maternity leave, which resulted in me leaving that corporate employer, taking them to tribunal, walking away with a very successful amount of money. And I fell out of love with HR for about 18 months, but then I got encouraged to come back into HR because I was good at it from friends and family who I'd been helping. So I set up Inspired HR as a standalone HR consultant in March 2017, and I've never looked back. My business has continued to grow. We now employ a core team of seven with many, many associates nationwide. And then earlier this year, we went franchise. We are a full end-to-end people business, so we offer HR generalist, strategic. We are mediators. We are coaches. I specialise in ADHD coaching. We offer learning and development, recruitment, and anything that we can't do, we have a whole host of partners and associates around us. I'm very, very proud of what I've built.
That's brilliant. I also particularly like the idea of a successful amount of money. I'm not going to ask for details, but it obviously worked for you. And I'm delighted because those things are really, really hard to go through. And the temptation for an individual not to fight for their own rights because they feel like they're on their own is huge. So I think that the learning that you've taken from that will obviously inform what Inspired is and how you run it. You've talked a little bit about when you first got involved with the industry and when you started the company, and also a bit about how Inspired HR has evolved over time. But you mentioned just in passing that you've recently created a new licensee model. Can you tell us a bit more about that? Not just what it is, but why it exists, why you've done this?
Yeah, certainly. So a licensee model is very similar to franchise. So you have a franchise model and then you have a licensing model. Now, they're both very similar in format, as in people buy the rights to work under your brand, and it's effectively a business in a box. And when I looked at this model, I looked at franchise and I looked at license. And the reason I chose to go down the license side is it just felt like it aligned more to my values and my ethics around the individuals that buy a license to work under my brand, and they get access to our systems, our support, our templates, our team. We work together. It's not just open to HR professionals to buy the right to work as a HR consultant under my brand. I've made it a very unique and innovative model whereby it's also open to mediators, coaches, L&D specialists, recruiters, health and safety. So all of those individuals that work in that profession that want to come out of the corporate life as an employee and build their own business can apply for our license. And then there's a lengthy process because it needs to be the right people to work under my brand, because I'm very precious about my reputation and people that can work amazingly as part of our team. But the reason I went down the license model was because it actually gives people more freedom in how they run their business. So although we give them the tools and the support and they work under my brand name, they actually have a lot more freedom, so they can work the hours they want, the days they want, they can put in the effort that they want. So if they just want to work 2 or 3 days, I'm absolutely good with that. But the model also gives them the opportunity to build multiple strands of income. So if they are a HR professional, but they're not a mediator, a coach, L&D or recruitment, they can still build those streams and either use head office to support them and deliver, or they can use other associates or licensees within our business to help them build that stream. So it's not just one stream of income, it's multiple, which is why we're bringing all of these people in, because the idea is to encourage them to work together. So where did that idea come from? Since I set up in business, it's been 7 years of learning. And I'm that person that I'm always happy to help anybody else. I'm a big believer in collaboration over competition. So I'm well known within the sector and within the HR consultancy sector for when someone is starting out their journey and they go, could I pick someone's brain? Can I ask someone's advice? I'm always happy to have a call with you or for any advice and learning, you know, that I'm willing to share, because people buy people and there's plenty of work out there for us all. And I met a lady called Lisa Murphy 3 years ago. Oh, I had that call with her when she set up in business 3 years ago. I shared lots of things, lots of documents, gave her all the advice I could to help her launch. And she's now very, very successful in her own right too. And we've remained friends ever since then. And we collaborate quite heavily. She's actually one of the people I've interviewed on my first 6 series of podcasts, because we have such an amazing partnership and collaboration. But she actually planted the seed with me last year and went, have you ever considered that if you could just box up everything you give to me and to everyone else you always help, you could set people up 5 years ahead on their business journey, because you've done all the hard work, all the learnings, and they can hit the ground running in business. So she actually planted the seed with me and I took it from there.
Brilliant. It's a fascinating story, and you know, that note that you made about your reputation being important to you, I think really resonates all the way through your planning here, because you're giving everybody ownership of how they look and what they represent on a really solid foundation, that they don't have to start from scratch every single time. So a really exciting and interesting way of doing things. And in the process of putting this all together, I think this podcast idea came about, which I think is great. I love podcasts. I listen to them all the time, loads of different things from loads of different people. And it's a really interesting and useful way to get different perspectives on the traditional way of thinking and being and doing business. You've got a really interesting lineup of guests for this podcast. And of course, I exclude myself from that. I'm just the host on this one. But could you share a little bit about who you've invited and what you're hoping to get out of the people that you present through this podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I will mention my license model throughout the podcast, but mainly it's about sharing the experience and the partners I've built. So, you know, if I can inspire one person with anything I share with my podcast guests, who my first 6 podcast guests are, obviously yourself, and, you know, I've got a huge respect for you. I mean, you are phenomenal in what you do. You are the Vice Dean of Durham Uni Business School, entrepreneur. I've, you know, you've spoken at some of our local events that we've ran, and you are my go-to person. Just high, high respect for you. And obviously, that's why you're included in my first 6 podcast interviewees. And the other five I've got lined up at the moment, effectively all the people we're going to be talking to are my key partners, people I work with, people I know, people I've learned from, people I've built relationships from. So even if people don't want to come and work with us or a license, hopefully this will help lots of other HR consultants out there in understanding and sharing some of the model I've built and why I've built these things for them. So it's not always about, you know, come and work with us. It's actually, if you can take one thing that's going to help you in business, that for me is what I'm trying to achieve as well. So some of the people I'm going to be sharing on our podcast is Linda Lowther. Linda Lowther is my business advisor and the business advisor I recommend to all of our clients. I've worked with her since my first year in business. She's seen my model from where it's gone to where it is. She's seen me through the highs, through the lows, a very, very experienced business advisor. And she actually forms a big part of helping all of our licensees on their success journey, because helping them succeed is so important to me. I've also got John Devitt, who is the Managing Director of Recovery for Life. He is the occupational health provider we partner with. He specialises in neurodiversity, which is very close to my heart and will be covered in an upcoming podcast. He specialises in addictions and mental health, and we work so well with him, by far an amazing occupational health company. Lisa Murphy, who planted the seed on me going licensee and was one of the first consultants I gave that shoulder to lean on and that good ear. I've also got Sarah Hamilton-Gill, who is the UK's top HR coach for HR consultants. Again, she forms part of my own journey. She wrote a fantastic best-selling book on how to leap into HR consultancy. And then there's Kat Moody, who is the employment solicitor from Richard Reed, who we do a lot of work with in relation to employment law, who I have a huge amount of respect for, and we work really closely together. So very much key partners, and that will kind of continue throughout our podcast, key partners and key contacts.
So with that really wide range of experienced, interesting, credible interviewees, what would you like your listeners to learn from the podcast? What sort of takeaways do you think that people will have? And I guess as a secondary but related question, who should be listening to the podcast?
So the people that should be listening to this are professionals from the people industry. So HR professionals, mediators, coaches, health and safety, recruiters, learning and development, the individuals that want to set up their own business, so want to do it on their terms. They've decided corporate and being an employee is no longer for them, but they're a bit curious or a little bit worried about what that journey looks like and can they really do it. Now, I'm testament to anyone can do it. You don't have to be qualified. I'm qualified by experience. Qualification helps if you're going for certain bids and sectors. But if you have any of these people backgrounds and you're curious and you're keen to learn, my podcast will help you understand some of the journey, that anyone can do it. And even if it inspires them to want to go out there and do it, then hopefully anything I do will help inspire them to do it.
Brilliant. It's really lovely to feel that, like so many people I come across in the Northeast, you're not just in it to win it, you're in it to share the knowledge and share the experience. So I applaud you for that. I think it's really exciting. You've talked a bit about the sort of challenges that you hope people will be able to confront given the information they'll get out of the podcast. Mm-hmm. And obviously from your description of the sort of people who should be listening, I think that that will be really useful to them in their day job. I also think that there's an awful lot of my students that I shall be pointing in your general direction because there's a lot that they can learn, maybe to help them avoid the challenges in the first place. Yeah. And I'll add those to your answer to the list of people who should be listening. And obviously, this is going to be required listening for a lot of the HR students in Durham University Business School. So you've talked a bit about Inspired HR and where it came from. How did you develop your vision and your mission for it? And how does that look in light of the team that you've put around you to help you walk the walk as well as talk the talk? Who does what in the organisation? And how does that all work toward your vision for what you want Inspired HR to be?
So my mission statement for the business is to inspire great HR. Now, that comes on the back of how I felt coming out of my own successful tribunal I did represent myself. I did win that case. It's all public sector. I could talk about who that particular corporate client is, but I won't. But I fell out of love with HR for 18 months on the back of that. I remember I attended COP 3 days, represented myself. I stupidly made the decision to go on my own. I didn't ask any friends or family to come with me. I didn't ask my husband to come with me. And on after being myself on the stand for a day and a half and questioning everything I'd ever done and said, because that's what a solicitor's job is to do in court, it was my turn on the stand on the second half of day two. But I fell out of love, but then I fell in love with it again because I realised I could help small businesses. I could help people really treat their people well and not go through what I'd gone through. So the Inspiring Great HR was about showing businesses they can do great HR and it doesn't always have to cost them anything. And it's about treating their people with respect and remembering they're human and they have things going on in their life. I am known for being very no-nonsense. So yes, although I want to inspire great HR, I often say I don't suffer fools gladly and I am very no-nonsense. And I guess that leads very well into my company values. So we have 7 company values. The first one is family, and that's because family is my first and most important value to me. And my first employee was actually my big brother, Mark. He is one of my HR and recruitment consultants. He has worked for me now for 5 years. And that for me was being able to pay back for him paying for me to go through my Pitman's typing, which is what started my career journey and my life into business. So for that, I'll always be grateful to my 2 big brothers. And to be able to do that for my brother Mark, that was so important. But also with my team, family, I never want them to miss out on the concerts or time with their family. I want them to do what's important. They never need to ask me for time off for anything to do with their family. They just tell me they're not available and we cover for them. You know, so family is my most important. The second one is real relationships, and that's about really getting to know our clients, knowing what's important to them, because we're all in business. You know, we run a business. We're not just HR. We're very commercially minded. We know the pain of running a business. So real relationships, when we give advice, it's based on a commercial reason as well as the employment law. So we're very, very have a balance there for them. The other one is integrity. I do business with integrity. I'm extremely ethical. For anyone that knows me, I will never push or sell anything to a client that they do not need. Everything fits around their needs. And integrity is absolutely essential for me. Enthusiasm. If anyone gets to know me, and actually this value comes on the back of people go to me, you're so enthusiastic, you love what you do. I can talk your ears off when it comes to HR and looking after people. No nonsense. That actually came about because my clients kept going, you're so no-nonsense. So that is why it became one of our values, because we are. We treat people as humans and with respect, but we're also no-nonsense in our approach. Dedicated. I have extremely high standards to quality and service and everything that we do. My reputation is pivotal for me, which is why under this license model, it's not a can I buy, it's can I express an interest. And there's a big, long process to make sure they have the expertise, they have the knowledge, they fit to our culture and values, they align to our values, and they can work well within a team. And there's a whole lengthy process behind that. And I have turned down many people at the moment because it's just not right for them, or they're not ready, or, you know, for various reasons. It's not a given. They have to be. And I'm very, very precious about reputation. And then HR should be simple. So everything we do is simple. We explain it in layman's terms, very simple. We don't do legal jargon unless we need to. And we make HR easy to learn and to understand and follow. And if you think about all those 7 values, it spells the word friends. Now, that actually came up from my team. It took me 2 years to really finalise and understand my values. And it came back on of a big team session where we came up with all of the words that we are described by our clients. We live and breathe our values. And then Mark said to me, do you realise that the 7 values that we love and want to implement spells friends? And it actually really helps us remember our values. Yes. So that's where it comes from. I have a fantastic team of associates and partners, but I really do have an amazing team that hold me up. So Mark, my big brother, my first and longest standing employee, is my rock. We've lost our parents, so he's very much that head person in my family as well. he is that person I lean on. He's absolutely, you know, he's there for me always and always has been. I've got Jenny, who is my head of consultancy. She actually started out with her own consultancy when I first met her through networking. And she's been with me for 3.5 years now. And she decided she wanted to, she was doing some associate work and she was like, Nikki, can I just come and work with you? I love working with you, please. And I brought her in. She started out as a senior consultant and she now heads up our consultancy. She is responsible for all of the work, all of the casework, all of the team, making sure the work gets done with and through them. And she is actually based in Bedford. She's not local, because I'm a big believer in that when you find someone brilliant, it doesn't matter where they are, if you can accommodate flexible working, and she can. So she heads up the whole of my head office and Bedfordshire area. I then have Harriet, who heads up all of my marketing. She's brilliant. She's based in Exeter. She looks after all my marketing, my website and my marketing strategy. There is also Zoe. So Zoe Malam is my head of events. Now, there's an interesting story to Zoe. When I first met Zoe, I'd met her at a networking event and she spent months trying to persuade me to meet with her about a collaboration with the company she was working with at the time, which was an energy business. I actually put her off as it wasn't something that I felt aligned with my business at the time. But when I met her, we had a really good conversation. And I'm a big believer that when you spot somebody with talent, even if you don't have a position in your business, if you're in a place that you can bring somebody in, then do it. If you spot talent, then why not recruit them? So by the end of that actual meeting with her, I'd actually offered her a job, which she declined because she was very loyal to the business at the time. However, shortly afterwards, actually within a couple of two hours, she'd been told off by her mother for turning the job down and being offered her dream job. She came to work for me. And Zoe's worked for me now, coming up for 3 years. And she's done a fantastic job of building my whole event strategy, which is very unusual within the HR sector. And we have multiple events where we bring local businesses. We're both very passionate about bringing in businesses together and showcasing their talent and supporting them. And she basically heads up all of my events.
I have got multiple consultants and senior consultants in the business. And my key right-hand person, the person I lean on besides Jenny for my head of consultancy, is a lady called Nicola Moore. Nicola Moore used to work for one of my clients. She moved on to and went on to work with one of my other clients because I wasn't in a position to employ her at the time. And then when I found out she was available, I offered her a job straight away. And she is my head of business. She is that person I lean on. She looks after all of my accounts, my client onboarding, my client relationships, my business development. And she is a phenomenal lady. And I couldn't do it without that core team. Obviously, my team is much wider, but those other people I work so closely with and I lean on them. And then, of course, the other person I massively lean on who is on the podcast is Linda Lowther, my business advisor. And she's that person who knows I can impulsively shop. She knows I've got a really big handbag and shoe collection, so she stops me spending too much money, which is all for the good of me. So she's brilliant.
It sounds like a really exceptional group of people, and I think importantly you recognise how critical it is that they can be critical of you constructively, but they can ask you the difficult questions and challenge you, because you, we've mentioned this phrase before, but you've got to be able to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. And if you can't take constructive criticism, then you can't dish it out to your clients. A fascinating team and a fabulous company, and it will be really exciting to hear across the course of the podcast the opinions of those other people whose reputations, like your own, you guard so very jealously.
And obviously my team, I value them massively. Everything I do as a business, I consult with them, I involve them, I really value their input. And actually they play a fundamental part into any licensees that come into us. So as part of our application process to purchase a license, the licensee applicants will be expected to come and do a discovery day with me, Linda and my team, where we'll go out for lunch, they'll get to meet the team, I'll see if and observe if they build a rapport, and they get to input and contribute as to whether that person is right to join us in our team. Because I have a fantastic culture, I have a fantastic team, I couldn't do it without them, they're absolutely amazing. So I absolutely value their opinion on who comes in and joins us.
It makes perfect sense. It's good to have quality control that you can trust. Thank you very much for letting me interview you for your debut episode of the HR Business Blueprint podcast. If people want to hear a little bit more from you, what should they do? Where should they go? Where should they click? And is there anything that you feel you haven't said that you'd like to add just as a little bit of a sign off?
So if people want to find out a little bit more about myself or the business, one of the best places to follow me is on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn and social media. From a business page point of view, Inspired HR has its own business pages on LinkedIn and Facebook. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can check out our website at www.inspired-hr.co.uk. And obviously, I would love anyone to leave a rating and a review of the podcast. And always reach out to me if they want me to talk about anything that I can answer in relation to going into the world of consultancy. I'm always happy to do so.
Thank you very much indeed from me, Professor Joanna Berry, and to you, Nikki Masterman, Chief Executive of Inspired HR and new host of the new podcast, The HR Business Blueprint. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to the HR Business Blueprint podcast. For any information on what we've covered in this episode, head to the show notes. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on future episodes. See you next time.